All right, we're going to go ahead and call this Monday, June 4th, public meeting in the Garrett County Board of Commissioners to order. I want to welcome everybody. I know this is sort of an odd setup. We had to move over here because the budget is going to be up there, and we would have had to move, so it's all just set up, and we stayed this way. There is a flag right through there. We can see it, and so when we stand for the pledge, that's where the flag is. So if everyone would please stand with me for the pledge, then Commissioner Titchener will give us the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you all join me in a word of prayer, please? Gracious Almighty God, Lord, we just come to you today and just thank you for this glorious day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we come to you this evening just asking for your guidance and direction here in this meeting, that everything we say and do here would be pleasing to you. We ask all this in thy most precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. All right, everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting, or any additions, corrections, or deletions to the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Minutes are approved by mutual consent. First item on the agenda is a proclamation for the Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. If you want to come on up, and Carol's going to be the photographer. I'll go ahead and read the proclamation. June 2018, Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month proclamation. Whereas Alzheimer's disease, a progressive neurodegenerative brain disorder, tragically robs individuals of their memories and leads to progressive mental and physical impairments. Whereas Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, is the only cause of death in the top 10 that has no cure, treatment, and no way to slow its progression. And whereas more than 5 million people in the United States are living with Alzheimer's, including 110,000 in Maryland. And whereas there are over 294,000 dedicated caregivers who provide unpaid care at home in our state, valued at more than $4 billion. And whereas researchers in Maryland and around the world continue their efforts to develop scientific discoveries that could one day bring about a world without Alzheimer's disease. Whereas with early detection and diagnosis, individuals and their families can gain access to treatment medications, enroll in critical research trials, fully participate in planning for the future, and receive help and support from the Alzheimer's Association. And whereas there's need to raise awareness about Alzheimer's disease and to honor all caregivers who support and care for loved ones with Alzheimer's, now therefore we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim June 2018 as Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month in Garrett County, and do commend this observance to all of our citizens to join in honoring all Maryland families affected by Alzheimer's disease, signed today by Commissioners Heimbald, Titchener, and myself as chairman. And would you like to say anything, Donna?
Well, this disease has touched me personally. My mom passed away in 2008, and I was one of those unpaid caregivers for a lot of years. Now that I've retired from the state health department, I'm working part-time and visiting lots of families here in our county and Allegheny County, and just hope to, as it says, spread some awareness about the disease, and that I'm here to help those families through this time. So.
Thank you. You want to get in here?
Make it a good one, Carol.
Thanks
for all you're doing.
Thanks for all you do. Thank you very much. Okay, next item on the agenda, we have a couple of resolutions. The first one is Community Development Block Grant for Chautauqua Park West. For CDBG grant funding in the amount of $800,000. Whereas the Board of Garrett County Commissioners has held the required public hearing related to formulations community block development block grant application. Whereas the Board of Garrett County Commissioners understands and acknowledges it could be responsible for completion of grant activities and any corrective actions, including the repayment of funds if necessary. Now, therefore, be it resolved, Board of Garrett County Commissioners of Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County, Maryland, this fourth day of June 2018 authorizes the submittal of the application for CDBG funding in the amount of $800,000 to assist with the Chautauqua Park West, a workforce housing initiative project to primarily benefit low-income households. And we're empowered to execute any and all documents required for the submission of the application. And I think we need a motion to approve that resolution to send forward. We have a motion to approve the submittal application for CDBG grant funding in the amount of $800,000. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the second resolution is agreement for the construction of 20,000 square foot shell building in the McHenry Business Park. The county acknowledges that loan proceeds of $2 million will be used for the project. This is in partnership with Medco. Jim, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We've negotiated an agreement with Medco and the Maryland Department of Commerce. Actually, the funds are being provided from a program at the Maryland Department of Commerce. Medco will design, build, and manage the building. Commerce is putting up the $2 million. We're contributing the land for the building, and we already have a couple of prospects for the building. So it's an attempt on our part to try to get some activity going at the McHenry Business Park. Probably the top prospect right now is a local business that's looking for more space. We've had some pretty extensive conversations with them, and they're anxious to get into the building and get it started. We have met with Medco on site. They're working with a local engineering company. They're going to try to use the local vendors for the construction of it. And we hope to get construction started sometime in the next couple of months and to get it up and get it under roof before winter so they can work on it during the winter months. The concept is that it'll be basically just a set of shell. The inside will remain unfinished until we get more specific information about the occupants and what their needs are.
Thank you. All right, so resolution number 2018-2. A resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County endorsing and supporting a conditional loan in the amount of $2 million from the Maryland Department of Commerce to the Maryland Economic Development Corporation for eligible project costs associated with the construction of improvements upon the property known as Lot Number 1, McHenry Business Park, Business Park Drive, McHenry, Garrett County, pursuant to the Maryland Economic Development Assistance Fund. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution is passed. Next up on the agenda, Dwayne and Pam. Garrett County Community Action Review of Garrett County Area on Aging Plan for Fiscal Years 2019 and 2020.
So this is Pam Hageman, who is our Director of the Aging and Nutrition Department. Barbara Miller is Vice President for Family Self-Sufficiency. I'm going to let Pam talk a little bit more about the details, but every couple years as the Designated Area Agency on Aging, we're required to submit a plan for how we're going to propose to use the older Americans' money that flows through the state down to the local level. And as a part of that, they ask that we provide a report to you all and that you'll sign off that you've seen it and don't have any objection to the plan. So that's what this is really all about, no action required. But let me just start by saying that there are two things, I guess, that I want to comment on. Pam, over the last couple years, has really worked hard at trying to move our aging programs to the point where a lot of them are becoming more self-sufficient through Medicaid reimbursements and other cost reimbursements, and we've made some real progress with that. So that's been a major shift. The actual older Americans money that we get over the past couple years has gone down each year because it's formula driven, it's based on population and the number of lower income people and minority persons that are in the community. So we've gotten fewer of that money, but that's been more than made up by the income producing activities that Pam's working on. And the other thing that we're really working on hard, which is a new idea, is the conversion of the Garrett Rehab Center building and the Thayer Center to an adult daycare center. And you know, we're preparing and have prepared various financing applications for that. But that will be a major initiative if that happens. And the other thing I would say is that Pam has announced that she's retiring as of at the end of July. She'll be leaving, and we're in the process of interviewing right now for a person to fill that position. So let me just let Pam kind of lead us through this brief summary of what we have here, and then if you have questions, we can respond to that.
Good news is no more of my tongue tiedness trying to understand what I'm saying. We're done with that. So I put together kind of an overview of the area plan, where the funds are coming from, kind of a sense so you can get a sense of where they're going. Looking at all the Title III, which are the Older American Act funds, those are all federal programs. Generally, they've kind of decreased. The only one that stayed the same is health promotion at $9,000. The rest of them kind of dropped a little bit. The Nutrition Services Incentive Program, which helps fund congregate meals and the Meals on Wheels, that's also declined. State funds, kind of a mixed bag. Nutrition stayed the same. MAP stayed the same. A lot of the other ones, Guardianship, Ombudsman, Vulnerable Populations, those all declined a little bit. The two resources, the revenue resources that Duane was talking about, are down there under revenue resources. Pretty tricky on my part. And the first one is a federal participation match, financial participation match, and basically that's a time study that they do. They conduct randomly throughout our suite, and then we're reimbursed for the amount of time that we spend doing Medicaid-based services. And just, I kind of included this, it may or may not be of interest, but the second page that you have there shows a little graph, and it kind of shows how we've been doing with that federal reimbursement since FY15 through the third quarter of 18. And so, you know, it's been kind of up and down. A lot of that has to do with staff turnover, you know, competency in the time studies and stuff, but this last quarter, we're getting pretty good at it. 72% of our time spent on Medicaid reimbursable matching activities. So good news there, we're getting better with time. And then the Medicaid billing, that's for service that we provide, bundle of service that we provide to folks that are Medicaid eligible who could conceivably be in a nursing home. So they have that level of care, and we're able to put together the bundle of services to help them stay in their homes. So those kind of explain what that funding is about. We just came up with some numbers today that was kind of surprising to me. We've had over 5,000 people, 60 and over, coming through the doors of Community Action from our community. So that's a pretty broad touch of seniors. That's everything from My Services to BIDA to energy assistance to all the things. So we really are a crucial service in Garrett County in terms of what seniors are looking for.
5,000 over what period of time? I mean, like multiple years?
One year. 12 months.
12 months.
That's unduplicated. And there's a little over 6,000 seniors in that same age category. That's about 80. Oh, I guess that's a little over 80.
And of those, 700 completed the Crisis and Thrive scale, so we're able to capture where they're at and be able to follow them, track them, to see how they're doing over time. And I wanted to say, I almost forgot, but number one, there's the support that you all give, and this guy especially, he's on my Commission on Aging group, and I really, Larry's been a terrific guy to have on the board, and has really supported us, comes up with some great ideas. It's kind of a free-flowing, loosey-goosey meeting at times, but he adds some stability and some good ideas, so really appreciate his presence and input on the board. So.
And the other thing, and I'll jump in here because I feel a little bit obligated. Paul was a part of the conversation. We met with some people from Carolina, remember. We attached it, and this is not a part of the budget request, but we just didn't. It came in today for us to really make that a part of it. But we did some analysis of what it would cost that last page to open up a feeding site or a senior site in Crowell. And I'm going to get back to Mr. Chinowski with that number tomorrow because we just completed this last week. So I don't know where you want to go with it, but it is information with respect. There was interest, Larry and Jim, for opening for that. They asked us to look at opening a site in Crowell. So that's basically
it. Chinowski. Yeah, Paul briefed us on it.
So I think that's probably pretty much it.
Unless you have any questions about the area plan, this is the final year of the four-year plan, which was kind of fed into my decision to retire. So my replacement next spring will have the opportunity to kind of vision the next 4 years for themselves about things they want to focus on. This kind of wraps it up for this 4 years.
I just want to thank you for all you've done to help seniors. I know, my mom included, I know several people that use your programs, and they're always treated well when they go in there with respect and dignity, and a lot of people couldn't make it without the services that you all provide. So I hate to see you leave, but
well, it's been a
congratulations.
This is like the dream job for me. This is it's been great, you know, and if I wish I'd stumbled across it, you know, like 20 years ago or something, that would have been
You're not leaving because of Larry, are you?
No, probably.
And I know I've talked to Delaney Barb about that. I hope to stay on and be involved in the medical adult daycare. I really want to kind of see that to the day that we open the door, so we get the state down here to license and stuff. So I'm really committed to staying involved with that and making it, because I believe in it, passionate about that.
Yeah, so that's great.
We'll make it happen.
If you look at this chart that she's given us here, it's went from 35% of Medicaid percentage up to this, I guess this last quarter, 72, mm-hmm. almost 73%.
Yeah.
So that's saying a lot for the work she's
done. And that's direct reimbursement from the federal government. We just have to, it's free, cool, free money from the federal government. Love that, right? I'm sorry, not free.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. That's true. That's true. Thank you all very much. And Pam, thanks for your years of service. Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is actually a public hearing. The Garrett County Department of Planning and Land Management, and Gary's going to cover this. But before we turn it over to Gary, we're going to need a motion to close the public meeting and move into a public hearing.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. So now the public meeting is closed, and we're now in an open public hearing. And Gary, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. So I'd like to submit for approval three districts under Garrett County's Agricultural Land Preservation District Program. The program is voluntary, it's historically non-controversial, and it's aimed at preserving the county's agricultural and forested lands. Each property meets the minimum qualifications for the program, and all landowners have expressed an interest in establishing a permanent easement through the Maryland Agricultural Land Preservation Foundation. Each property has also been reviewed by the Ag Advisory Board as well as the Planning Commission, and they have each approved and submitted the letters before you recommending approval. Dennis and Eileen Buckle have requested to withdraw their property from consideration at this time with the intention to reapply with a modified acreage next year. So So the first property is Dwayne and Karen Pinsinger. It's 33.4 acres at 4443 Pleasant Valley Road in Mount Lake Park. Are there any questions about this property? Okay, next is Joseph Yoder. It's 90.23 acres at 1176 Dorsey Hotel Road, also adjoining Peavine Road near Grantsville. Any questions about this one? Finally, Frank and Rebecca Patez, 172.63 acres off of Mill Run near Friendsville. Questions about this one?
Are there any questions? This is a public hearing on these proposed parcels of property. Are there any questions for Gary in regard to the program or the three applicants?
Sure. This is to form a county district, which there's no monetary benefit to the landowner, but it allows us to kind of pre-screen applicants for selling a permanent easement through one of two state programs. What it does is it preserves the agricultural use of the property and prevents development for a minimum of 3 years. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Under the MALF program, is there restrictions for businesses that would be on this property?
There are.
I know that Pinsinger has business out there. I don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no commercial or they've been particularly looking at solar and wind production as well.
Any other questions? Any questions from the commissioners? Gary, do you have anything else for us?
No, that's it.
All right, at this time, we need a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the public meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Public hearing is now closed. The public meeting is now back open. If there are no further questions or comments, we need a motion to accept the applicants that Gary mentioned would be Dwayne and Karen Kinsinger, Joseph Yoder, and Frank and Rebecca Vitez into the Agriculture Land Preservation Program.
Motion to accept those three.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion, second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Gary. All right. The next item is another public hearing. This one is Garrett County Department of Public Works. Pat Hudnell is going to talk about the Friendsville Sewer Equalization Tank Project, and we will need a motion to close the public meeting again and go into a public hearing for that item.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion, a second. We're now in a public hearing for the Friendsville Sewer Tank Project, and Pat, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Public hearing is to present the project of a wastewater treatment plant equalization tank replacement project in Friendsville. The current tank is about 300,000 gallons and is failing glass roof. We've engaged with the EATS group to design a new tank. Essentially, we're going to remove the existing tank, put the new tank on the same footprint, a little bit bigger. It's going to be a 500,000 gallon tank. The estimated cost of this project is about $850,000. Funding is going to be coming through the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development Program in the form of 75% grant and 25% loan. That leaves us with roughly $212,000 to finance through their loan program.
Questions for Pat from anyone in the room on the Friendsville sewer tank project? Quiet bunch today. Questions from the commission? All right. If there are no other questions or comments, thank you, Pat. We need a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the public meeting.
Motion to close.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
We're now back into public meeting. There's no action required on that. I do have just a couple of real quick announcements before we go to public comment, and then we'll take a break and start the budget presentation at 5 o'clock in this room. I do want to mention that the next public meeting of the Garrett County Commissioners will be Tuesday, June 19th, and that will be at the Bloomington Volunteer Fire Department beginning at 6 o'clock. So this is the time of the year where we start getting out into the communities. Of course, we're here today. We'll be at Bloomington the next meeting. And then the first meeting in July, we'll be back at the courthouse. As mentioned previously, we'll take a break. I have 4:31. We will begin the budget presentation promptly at 5 o'clock in here. Before we adjourn the public meeting, are there any questions or comments from the audience? Yes, sir.
The Medco project, if you're doing that business park, what was the square footage on it?
20,000.
Yeah. And I had one more question for Tony. The rehab center, is that being pulled off the market too? You guys are putting
yes,
it?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did pull it off the market.
Thank you.
Question.
Yeah, on that building, the vendor that's designing, is that a Garrett County employer?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Who's designing the building?
I know they're working with Thrasher Engineering.
Is that local? Is that a Garrett
yes.
County?
Yes.
And you said you hope to use local vendors. Is there any way to be sure to use local vendors on all of these?
We can't guarantee it. We have a commitment from Medco to work with local vendors. They've, I think, already talked with Beitzel, and I think they're talking with a couple outfits in Cumberland that have experience building buildings of those size. But there'll be local subcontractors working on buildings.
So, excuse me, can't you assure that? You say you just hope they will do it, or is it, can you negotiate that it will be done by local craft people and local vendors?
I think they've made a commitment to us, not a legally binding commitment, but we've worked with them on many occasions. They've made a commitment to try to use local people. They do have a fiduciary responsibility in terms of the money to try to get the best deal that they can, but they're committed to working with local builders if they can find somebody. They'll go out for bids, and the local people, businesses will have to bid on it. And
so it's just sort of a wish?
It's more than a wish. More than a wish. We've done this with them before, and they have a record of using local contractors.
So they always use local? Usually, I made out that. It just seems if you're spending money or you're
I'm confident that there will be a lot of the work done locally, if not all of it. I can talk to you about it later, but I can give you other examples where we've done the same thing.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question about anything now?
Sure. Not the budget, though, because we're going to do that later.
What's being done to enforce the Maryland state? I'm the president of a HOA, Minnetonka Property Owners Association. We have a situation where someone is making an enormous amount of noise. It's 2-acre lots that affect everybody. And in 2015, we tried to get help from the commissioner's office, and we were told that there were some initial efforts to come up with a noise enforcement policy, but that it was kind of squashed because of the recreational business area leaders that want to see it. So we ended up having to sue our property owners. We spent over $5,000, and we never even got to court. So I cut it short because it looked like it was going to get the $20,000 for both of us. But if Maryland, if Garrett County is going to be enforcing the noise law, it just pushes the responsibility of enforcement down to the HOAs. And then it's a tough financial burden, and it's not the right place to do it. So what's being done to enforce Maryland state law?
The health department.
We've had several conversations with MDE, actually, is the arm of the state government that's
changed in 2012. Garrett County
correct, but that the state law flows through MDE, the interpretation and everything else. We did meet with Jeff Fretwell on several occasions to talk about that. Here locally, it flows through the health department. Have you spoken with anybody from the health department? You'll have to call them and ask them. That happened before our time as commissioner. That's the way that it is.
It used to be the health department years ago, but in 2012, the point of contact, and MDE's gotten out, and it's now allocated to the county commissioners. And, you know, we've gone and asked for help. As part of this lawsuit, we're actually told by two different lawyers that the best thing to do would be to petition for a mandamus. I talked with Debbie Carpenter about that last year. It's a tough problem. We've got to fix this.
Let me get, after the meeting, let me get your name and number, and I'll get you in contact with the right people.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Debbie gave me Mr. Getty's name. However, Mr. Getty's the defendant's lawyer in this case, so that doesn't help us a whole lot.
Well, I'll follow up with you as soon as we adjourn. Any other question or comment? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to direct this to Commissioner Highbaugh. Recently, at the invitation of the Democratic Club, the commissioners gave a report to the public on economic development of the county. But do you think it's right that the pattern in Garrett County is for elected officials to give the reports such as the one you gave on economic development and the upcoming State of the County report to the Chamber of Commerce, where citizens have to pay to hear your reports?
Well, let me try to explain. I know there have been some letters written about that, and I was going to respond, and I opted not to. The briefing that we gave in September to the Chamber of Commerce, they had originally scheduled a guest speaker to come from Tom Sadowski from the University of Maryland. I think he's the Vice President for Economic Development. He canceled out on short notice. The chamber contacted me and said, would you give a presentation, because he can't make it. And I said, sure, what would you like to see included in the presentation? We got a letter from the chamber that said, here are the things we want you to talk about. So we gave him the presentation. It was open to the public. You do have to pay to attend. Chamber members have to pay to attend. So there's several answers to your question here. At the request of, in March, I think it was, we got a request from Democratic Club asking us to give the same presentation, which we did. We updated it, gave the same presentation. And then there was some criticism of the content of the presentation. But in fact, we presented exactly what we were asked to present. The other thing I would point out, that once a year we do a State of the County presentation, and we usually have it here in the auditorium here at the college. Open to the public, nobody has to pay to attend. It's actually more comprehensive than the briefing we gave to the Chamber of Commerce. Unfortunately, we give that once a year. There's probably never more than...
After the first year, there hasn't been many people show up.
Maybe 15, 20 people show up for it. So we do give it. We do give an annual presentation on the state of the county. It's open to the public, and it's free.
Well, I couldn't find it online, either in the newspaper or the county's website. I also know that our delegate and our senator just gave a report to the Chamber of Commerce on the legislative thing in Annapolis, and you're giving the State of the County to the Chamber in July. When will you be giving the State of the County to the general public?
In December, here, December. Like we do every year.
It's annual. It's an annual.
We do it every year in December here at the college. And it's much more comprehensive than the one given to the Chamber of Commerce. And to be fair, we go to any group that's asked us to come to and present on whatever they ask us to present on.
Thank you.
Appreciate the question. Anyone else? All right, hearing none, we will resume back here at 5 o'clock. Motion adjourned?
So moved.